Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Last night, I preached a prophetic word for our church, but I don't think it was just for the church. I think it was also for the nation. The text I took was Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 21 and following. And I declared to you in your hearing that this is going to be a year of unprecedented victory. And that's what I hear the Lord saying to me, which is encouraging. But the very next, I shouldn't say but, however, right after he said that to me very clearly, I said it out loud, all right, a year of unprecedented victory. And then I heard the Lord say, don't be afraid. I thought, I'm not given to fear. It's not something that just sort of, some people are more given to fear, others aren't. Maybe it's because we're more dull, or I don't know, I'm just not given to fear. So if the Lord then tells me, don't be afraid, I'm thinking, why would you say that? Because if you're gonna take something, you're gonna do what God called you to do, you will frequently have fear that comes against you. Like a skunk sprays stink, fear will come. And the unprecedented victory that God had planned for them going into the promised land, having defeated the strongest nation in the world, they come to the brink of fulfillment, and 10 out of 12 spread a bad report. They spread fear. Two, they thought differently. Two, Caleb and Joshua, they had a different heart. They were a different spirit. They said, surely we can do it. God's with us. But the other 10 spread a bad report. They mumbled in their tents. Said, God brought us out here to kill us. They had a distortion about God, about God's word. They had a distortion about who they were. They didn't know who they were. And as a result, they forfeited and had to wander around in the desert 40 years, till a whole generation would die off. And I'd often thought about Joshua and Caleb. Would have been, at least for me, I'd have wrestled with bitterness. Like, stupid people. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Is that just me? Oh, you wouldn't say stupid. Oh, spiritual one. I think Joshua was really had to forgive and really just had to be like, wow. So I get to wait till you're all dead, and then we go in. You know, you need to be very careful who you yoke with, who you partner with. It's interesting how Jesus prayed all night before he chose his disciples. So important who you partner with, who you, it's important where you go to church is important. And we say, well, I just like the building. You should not go to church because you like the building. Buildings come and go. No, you go by the anointing, you go by the word of the Lord, you go where there's holiness and purity, you go where the word is preached uncompromised, you go where there's a track history of victory and breakthrough. And you go to a place for all of you online, and those of you, you're here Wednesday night, that those online, you go where you see the generations. You see the old, you see the young, and you see everything in between. Because if a church doesn't have that, it's not going to be around long. They say, well, my church, everybody's older. Well, you better do something, otherwise you're not going to have a church in another 20 years. Thank God for the older people. Can somebody say amen? Thank God for the middle-agers. Can you say amen? Thank God for the younger people. Can you say amen? Thank God for all the children. Can you say amen? Yeah, it's a whole multi-generational church. And a multi-ethnic church, I believe you should go to too. Anytime we go to churches that are just all white, it's just weird. Or all black, it's just odd to me. I love it, love people. But look around right now. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Every single ethnic grouping from Alaska is sitting right here and online in Kotzebue or wherever you are. I declare to you once again that you are going to move into, if you'll do it, if. You can be part of the 10 that don't do it. But as for me and my house, as Joshua said, we're going to serve the Lord. I'm going in. I'm gonna teach you. I'm gonna help you. I'm gonna train you. I'm gonna pray for you. I'm gonna get you hungry and believing God. I'm gonna move you to a place of faith and a dynamic where you walk in unprecedented victory. It will not just happen to you like it just rolled up. I don't know what happened. It just rolled up. There are breakthroughs that come by associations with people. In other words, you're associated with them, so you get through the door. There is that. There's nothing wrong with that. Of course, you can be associated with somebody and the door closes as a result as well. Bad company corrupts good character, but the converse of that is also true. Hang out with anointed people that are going somewhere and changing the world, then it'll get on you also. Hang out with stupid and you also get stupid. You pick. I'm gonna hang out with visionaries who are gonna change the world. How about you? And God is doing that here. Unprecedented victory is definitely God's intention, God's plan. His express purpose for you is to give you a hope and a future. His express purpose for you is clear in Scripture, that you would be the head, not the tail, the lender, not the borrower, that you would be His unique, and some are more unique than others. His peculiar people, chosen generation, royal priesthood. That's what the Bible says. Come on, lift a hand to heaven and say, I'm part of the chosen generation. I'm part of the what? I am part of the chosen. I've been chosen. I've been selected. I've been appointed. Come on, this is identity scriptures here. Understand and know who you were. They did not know who they were, Minister Toby. That's why they forfeited and didn't go into the promised land. God had victory for them, but they didn't take it. They couldn't receive it because they were blind. They were dumb to the truth of God's word, that they were the army of God, and if God was with them, they're going to be able to overcome. And there is no giant, there is no obstacle, there is no plan that has been hatched by the devil and his minions that can stop you, but you can. You can stop you. You can derail you. You can unplug. You can nullify the word of God. I have every intention to not do that. And I've set my life up and want to teach you to do the same thing, to learn to never unplug the word. Learn to walk in a dynamic of power and authority and victory all the days of your life, that you would fulfill the divine purpose that God has for you, the express purpose that He has, so that when you stand before Him on that great and awesome day, you'd hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in the little things, and I'll make you ruler over much." Because this is not it. This is an internship. Oh, we think this is it, and are blown away by the fancy car, the fancy house, or maybe the money or the fame or the fortune. All of that doesn't matter. What matters in the end is hearing the express approval and the accolades of heaven, not man. And nowhere in Scripture are you encouraged to become wealthy or famous. Wealth is an aspect of covenant. It'll come. Come on, somebody say it'll come. This year, go ahead, say that. This year, might as well. Will you move into all that God has in 2025? Now we could say amen, but when the war comes, the battle comes, how you respond in the midst of that. So this year of unprecedented victory, it's a series of messages I started it last night. I'm gonna give you number two. Began to think and pray about all the different people in Scripture that did phenomenal, supernatural things, that faced odds that were insurmountable. Talked about Jehoshaphat last night. 2 Chronicles 20:20, believe the prophets and prosper. I told you that it's not the gate code now I'm not giving you the gate code, but it used to be on the lock of both gates for years, 2020. So I would look at the padlock and put 2020 and say, I believe the prophets and I'm gonna prosper. And I'd unlock it and walk and look at a field of dirt, messed up property that needed 500,000. I'm not stuttering. Some of you don't know what it means, but those of you that do, you're gonna think I'm lying, but I'm not. It's a real number. 500,000 cubic yards of dirt moved from where we are right now over across. They moved a whole mountain to make room for this place. 500,000 cubic yards. Isn't that right, David? You were a part of it. I drove dirt trucks and was a part of everything I could be a part of. And at other times, I had Wally say, you need to leave. Remember them hanging the steel. Miracles took place because we believe the prophets and prosper. I encourage you as we move to the second message now, take your Bibles, turn to the book of Samuel. First Samuel, thank you, Minister Toby. I'd encourage you to learn to think differently. You have to learn to think different. If you don't learn to think different, you will never fulfill God's plan. 1 Samuel chapter 17, new series. And if you'll think about every single person, thank you, Minister Toby and team. If you look throughout Scripture and you see anybody that ever did anything for God, now that's not hyperbole, it's real. Anybody that ever did anything for God, they thought completely different than the people that weren't doing anything. It requires a different mentality. First Samuel 17. So we talked about Jehoshaphat. We talked about Moses and Joshua and Caleb a little bit. Very familiar passage, David and Goliath, we're going to look at. But there's others. There's Gideon. There's Paul and Silas in the New Testament. First Samuel chapter 17. Find the verse 17. Let's go. Ready? I have to read verse 15. It doesn't really work with the message, but I'm going to make it work. But David occasionally went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. David, at this point, the context has been, he's been anointed by Samuel the prophet, and he was chosen to play before the demonized Saul. Saul is now demonized. The anointing is lifted off of him because he didn't heed the voice of the Lord, and he yielded to public opinion and the pressures of man. And he sacrificed before Samuel came, and as a result, he forfeited his kingdom. And God had another selected, the shepherd boy, the young, ruddy shepherd boy who was anointed far before the horn of oil came. It's wonderful when a prophet calls you out and pours a horn of oil over you, but I will tell you this, that it's the power of the Holy Spirit and the anointing that comes on you in the field when there ain't nobody around to know, just you and God, you know. He comes on you to tend those sheep, to sing those songs. And David, who faced a lion and the bear, he's called to basically play music, and he goes from the White House to Bethlehem occasionally. You know why? It says right there, but on occasion, verse 15. So he has this giant promotion, and he goes to the palace to minister to the king, but he would occasionally go home to check on the sheep because he's a real shepherd. He's faithful. In verse 16, the Philistine drew near and presented himself for 40 days, morning and evening. And Jesse said to his son David, verse 17, now take for your brothers an ephah of this dried grain, New King James, tonight, and these 10 loaves, and run to your brothers at the camp. Carry these 10 cheeses. What a great job. He's an Instacart for the front line, bringing pizza, cheeses. Maybe it's charcuterie, Pastor Karen. He brought a little charcuterie board for everybody, except for the bread. Verse 19, now Saul, they and your brothers, see how this Saul and your brothers fare, bring back news to them. Verse 19, now Saul and they and the men of Israel in the valley of Elah, I've been there, fighting with the Philistines. So David rose early in the morning, he left the sheep with the keeper, took the things, and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the camp as the army was going out to fight, shouting for the battle. Verse 21, for Israel and the Philistines had drawn up in battle array, army against army. And David left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper and ran to the army and came and greeted his brothers. As he talked with them, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming out from the armies of the Philistines, and he spoke according to the same words. So David heard them, and all the men of Israel saw the man. They fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. So the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who's come up? Surely he's come up to defy Israel. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king, will enrich with great riches and will give him his daughter and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel. So David's very motivated right there. Get the girl, great riches, and tax exemption. Verse 26, and David spoke to the man who stood by him. What shall be done for the man? He can't even believe what he's hearing. What shall be done for the man who kills the Philistine and takes away the reproach? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Different mentality, very different mentality than everybody else. I mean, why is it? He just stands out. Everybody's like, oh no, it's that fat-headed uncircumcised guy. Here he comes. There's nothing we can do. And they're all terrified. It reminds me of what we talked about last night. It reminds me of the children of Israel supposed to go into the promised land, but they're like, we can't do it. Man, we can't do it. There's giants. Here's another giant. You're going to face giants. And David, he doesn't think like that. He's like, what are you talking about? What should be done? Verse 22 answered him, so and so shall be done for the man who kills him. Now Eliab, his oldest brother, was there and spoke to the man. Eliab was in anger aroused against David. He said, why did you come down here? Anybody got an older brother? Well, hopefully they weren't like this. And of whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and your insolence of heart. You've come down to see the battle. And David said, what have I done now? You get the idea that they've had this kind of interaction before. He's like, really, dude? Seriously? Siblings, is there not a cause? Oh, my. Is there not a cause? Then he turned from him towards the other, said the same thing. Verse 31. Now the words of which David spoke were heard. They were reported to Saul, and David went to Saul. Let no man's heart fail because of him, for your servant will go and fight with the Philistine. And Saul said, you are not able to fight against a Philistine, for you are a youth. He's a man of war from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came, took a lamb out of the flock, I went after it, struck it, and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it rose against me, I caught it by its beard, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them. seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion, from the paw of the bear, will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. So Saul clothed David with his armor. And you can read those verses. He couldn't wear it. He says, I haven't tested these. So David took them off. Verse 40, he took his staff in his hand and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook, putting them in the shepherd's bag in a pouch which he had in his hand, and he drew near the Philistine. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David. And the man who bore the shield went before him, verse 42, and the Philistine looked about, saw David, and disdained him. For he was only a youth, ruddy and good-looking. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you should come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods, verse 44. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. And David said to the Philistine, you come to me with sword and with spear and with javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, who you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air, the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Father, I pray for your power to rest upon us, Lord, tonight. That you, God, would clothe us with a new mindset. That we, Lord, would see tonight that thoughts, winning thoughts, produce winning battles. Losing thoughts produce losers. And I pray tonight that you would invade the minds of your people by the power of your word, your spirit, and truth. And that we would leave this place knowing that we are appointed by you to let the earth know that there is still a God in Israel. There is still a God on the throne. Foundations of righteousness and truth are the foundations of it. And that we would be powerfully used to drop the giants in the land. Amen. The spiritual giants. Yes. Sickness and disease, infirmity and idolatry. That you would use the people under the sound of my voice, including me, to rise up with a different way of thinking, a different way of speaking, that we, God, would understand and know it is for this hour that we have been selected to be alive. Equip us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Say with me, winning thoughts, winning battles. Winning thoughts, winning battles. David thought differently. He knew what God's intention was. He knew God's plan. He knew history. He knew that it's not of God to have an uncircumcised Philistine cursing the people of God, the army of God, and to sit there dominating over the land. He knew that that wasn't God. He's surprised that he's going to get all these rewards. I will tell you, all the young people, let me say this to you. If you're not married, you want to find a wife, want to find a husband, let me tell you how to do it. Where are you going, Daniel? Here's how you do it. Here's how you do it. Serve God with everything you have. Drop every giant you come in contact with. Get plugged into a good local church. Learn the word. Learn to rightly divide the word of truth. Get filled with the Spirit. Learn to hear his voice. Sublimate all those hormones. Take all that and put it towards God. With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, serve God. Get to know him. Live for him. And you know what'll happen? In time, the Lord will bring you a spouse. Didn't work out so good with this one, but that's another story. He is surprised he's going to get rewarded. Second Chronicles 20 and 17, referring last night, you will not need to fight this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. There is a way in thinking that if you're going to fulfill what God's called you to do, you have to really know that he's called you to do it. You have to understand that God is with you. It can't be this fictitious thing that you drum up. You have to know that he's with you. There has to be no shadow of doubt in your mind. Well, how does that happen? By learning the word, by speaking the word, by praying the word, by memorizing the word, by understanding what the truth is. And when you understand what the truth is, you'll know that if you've repented and you're living for God and you're living holy and pure, living a repentant lifestyle, which means when you blow it, you repent. Did anybody repent today besides me? We should just all repent right now. You got like 3/4 of people, you all walked on water today, just golden today. Repentance is a lifestyle. For me, I was not nice. I got crabby. I got hangry. Way over the top. And I snapped a little bit at Pastor Karen, which is just unthinkable. She's so sweet. But I've already repented. You live for God. You love God. You live a repentant lifestyle. You'll come to understand that he's with you. And if he's with you, whatever he says you can do, you can do. Say, but I don't feel. There's your problem right there. Your feelings have to line up with truth. And you'll always have people that, I've got some of this happening right now. You'll always have people that want to criticize. They want to criticize, and he refused to have his fire put out by those who want to throw water. You know, what's amazing to me is the amount of criticism I get from people who can't grow. Jesus, help me right now. You're always going to have critics. And you know something? I don't even answer them anymore, mostly. Because it's a waste of my time. A fool answers a fool. But I've also found that God uses donkeys as well. And, oh yeah, so you might hear something as they were standing out in front of the Supreme Court years ago, Randy and his wife. Standing against abortion. And one of these people screaming in his face, what are you going to do with all the babies? What are you going to do? Are you going to adopt them? Is that what you're going to do? And the Lord said, that's exactly what you're going to do, Randy. And Randy started an adoption agency and puts babies in homes all across America. If, in fact, I'll say this, if you want help adopting, just come talk to me. I'll set you up. They skip. You know, but there's so much racket in adopting. It's money everywhere. All the middle people, all the attorneys and all the people, it costs you $70,000 to adopt a child. Unless you know someone. We know people. We know the Lord, and we know people that work for him, and it's a ministry that comes together to skip all the middlemen, produce all the paperwork, and help you get a child for, you know, 10 grand or something. Because it does cost, but it's not 70, it's not 100. See, David doesn't worry about his brother calling him a little shepherd boy. He's not put off by somebody looking at him and misinterpreting his passion. I have had that happen more times than I can count. My passion for God has been misinterpreted as arrogance and pride. And some of the hardest things I went through early on, now I just don't care. I just don't. I mean, you know, the ones that can really hurt you are the ones that are the closest to you. His older brother's picking on him, and he's just stepping over it. On your way to dropping your giant in 2025, on your way to fulfilling and walking an unprecedented victory, you're going to have people who don't think that you can do it. You're going to have people that want to say, well, who are you? Well, you just got started in ministry. I was from a Christian family. You were a little pagan. What do you think you could? Shut up. And sometimes we need to debate people, but other times you should just leave them. It's good not to answer at times. Some of you spend way too much money on, too much time on Facebook. No, David's confidence in God was stemmed not from some baseless hope, from a time-tested experience of dropping other enemies to the flock. And this was a promotion. This is a promotion for David, but he had killed the lion, he had killed the bear. It wasn't based on wishful thinking. It wasn't based on presumption. It was based on what God had done through him and the anointing that rested upon him. He had killed the lion, he had killed the bear. Let me just say this. I know people that go out and just start ministry, they've not been faithful in anything in the house of the Lord. And they just think they're going to travel the world. They have not been faithful in anything. You've got to learn to be faithful in the little things. I remember saying, Lord, you can trust me with big and massive. I'm ready. He's like, sure you are. Here's little and small and insignificant. Just do it unto me. Nothing. Don't see things as a stepping stone. Nothing's a stepping stone. Everything you work unto the Lord, and as you do that, God will elevate you. And God elevates. There comes moments of elevation, and that's what happens for David. Tangible, real experiences he had. Verse 34, David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. The lion and the bear came. He had experience. I love how he doesn't use the armor of Saul. I used to look and study Dr. Baracko's life and try to match his life with mine. So I try to do exactly what he did. He was my pastor. Thank God he's still alive. So I used to study him. I know how he makes his tea. I know how he irons his shirt. I know things about Dr. Baracko. I've studied him. I know when he's uncomfortable in a service. I know when the preacher's preaching too long and he wants him to stop. I can see things. I know when he's getting choked up. He's not somebody that cries, but there's something you can just see. When he's touched in his heart, you can see it. I know what makes him angry, and I do not ever like seeing that. Injustice makes him angry. People defiling and destroying each other makes him, he gets angry over things like that. I've studied him. And so I tried to emulate and tried to copy him. And I don't think that's all that bad. There's many things that should be emulated and copied. But I started to find out I'm going to die if I do his schedule. Now I tried it for years. It didn't fit. It's like trying to wear somebody else's shoes. It's so important to find a place where you can express your giftings and your talents instead of just running off and running right at the giant. Learn to catch and kill the squirrels first. The ones in your head. Some of you have squirrels running around in your head and you want to go after Goliath. You ain't going to kill no Goliath. You've been manipulating. Squirrel! Manipulated over and over and over. You cave into your emotions. You're in bondage to your lust. You're in bondage to greed. You get all kinds of challenges. You think you're going to drop Goliath. No, you had the Goliath that you need to drop is your lust, is your greed. It's learning to take your thoughts captive and walk in a new dimension of power and authority. He doesn't just send you out into the valley of Elah to drop the Goliath. The Goliath for you is that. I don't struggle with those things in my mind anymore. I don't have a lust problem. It's gone long ago. I don't have a greed problem. I don't have those issues. Thank the Lord. Come on, somebody say thank you, Jesus. I don't have an anger problem. I used to. Don't look at me like that. You have to learn to take your thoughts captive and renew your mind. You have to learn how to do that. And in doing that, it is dropping your personal Goliath. But then God will elevate you. He'll promote you. And he gives you opportunities. And you're going to have people that think, who do you think you are? I've told the story many times. A person that I deeply respected, one of my heroes, sat me down on the front and said, hey, sit down. Sit down here. I want to talk to you a second, Daniel. I sit down. He said, you know, you're so full of pride. I'm like, what? You're so full of pride. You're so arrogant. And honestly, it makes me sick. I mean, like full blasted from someone who I just hung the moon to me. I was so wounded. I'm sitting there. I'm trying to choke back the tears. And I'm thinking, man, I don't think I'm. And I just realized, man, maybe I'm deceived again. I thought to myself, am I deceived again? Because I had been deceived in my life. So I thought, here's someone who has incredible anointing, recognition worldwide, and is rebuking me for my pride and my arrogance. And I just said, why? I don't see that. He says, I'm sure you don't. I said, well, would you pray for me? He says, I will. So he laid hands on me and he prayed. He prayed a bold prayer. He walked away and I thought, I'm so messed up. It's the next thought I have. Lord, I just love you and I'm messed up, I guess. Lord. And I look up and there's Dr. Morocco. And I thought, I'm going to ask Dad. Went over to him. I said, hey, Pastor. He's like, yeah, Daniel. I said, you know, brother worldwide, he pulled me aside. It rhymes. And he said, I'm arrogant. And he said, I'm filled with pride. And this is Dr. Morocco's response. He just hangs his head and starts shaking his head. And I'm crying. I'm thinking, what the heck? And he looks at me and he says, Daniel, look at me. You've got passion. You have fire. Don't let anybody put it out. And you'll always have people who will tell you things about yourself that are not true. Sometimes they're jealous. I don't know the condition of what happened with him. I'll talk to him. That is not you. So serve God with everything. I was like, yes! Let's go! Come on. And I realized in that moment, people that I might even highly esteem don't see me how the Lord sees me. You know who sees you like the Lord sees you? The Lord sees you that way. And you should know what that is from Scripture, and that ought to put some fire in your belly to understand and know who you are. You can take out the lion. You can take out the bear. You've been anointed by God. He's with you. He's not against you, and he will raise you up. Deal with the lust. Deal with the greed. Deal with those things that are haranguing you even in the night. Learn to walk in purity. Learn to walk in holiness. Exercise your faith. You're not going to be in a pulpit like this until you make the whole world your pulpit. And maybe you're never supposed to be in a pulpit like this. This isn't the only pulpit. There's pulpits in the marketplace with perhaps even greater influence and power. I was supposed to be the next youth pastor, so I thought. I've told the story over and over and over. When they selected a guy that I didn't think should be selected, I just almost backslid. I was so discouraged. I led the youth group for 3 weeks. It went from 50 to 80 people prophesying, bodies flying everywhere, people getting saved, words spreading, dreams of taking over the entire universe. Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm not even kidding. I was just like jitter. I was so on fire. I just couldn't wait to just let me at anything. Couldn't believe they gave me a chance. As fast as I received the moment to as a substitute teacher, if you will, was instantly taken away and given to a seasoned youth guy. And I went into a deep depression for about a week. Lord spoke to me and said, Make the whole world your pulpit, son. I thought, okay. So I went into the street. I went into the highways and the byways and the marketplace. The first time I broke out was at Christmas time at Kmart. Because I love winning souls, and that was like a stone in the shepherd's sling, if you will. I love winning souls, I still do. And you know, nobody can stop you from doing that. Oh, I wasn't allowed to preach to the youth. I wasn't preaching at the cathedral and Dr. Morocco's pulpit. No, but I can get people saved, and I love getting people saved. And the Lord said, make your whole world the pulpit. That quote comes from Shakespeare, who said, make the whole world your stage. So I said, okay, there we are. I told Karen we had to go to Kmart. It's Christmas. She's pushing the cart, and I'm envisioning jumping up. Listen, if you have these thoughts, you might be an evangelist. Thoughts like this. I envision jumping up on top of the food belt, getting up on top of the food belt and preaching to everybody till they all fall out and the power of God coming and everybody just repenting. I've read all kinds of revival stories and thought, man, God's going to use me like that. And so I said to Pastor Karen, as I'm trying to figure out what crazy thing I'm going to do, because I'm going to do it. And I said, I got to break out. She's like, what? She's pushing the cart. I said, I got to break out. What are you talking about? She said, what are you doing? I said, I got to break out. I got to break out. She says, oh my God. I never forget. You just took off praying in tongues, man. Just down aisle 4. She was gone. And I was like, I got to break out. I got to break out. I've got to break out. And I grabbed a phone and I pulled the phone off. And I'm like, I'm gonna preach to everybody. I'm gonna preach to everybody. And I grabbed the phone. And I'm like, okay. I looked at the thing and figured out how to get the speakerphone on. Attention, Kmart shoppers. I sang some Christmas songs. What is what happened? I sang a Christmas song, and I cannot remember what song I sang. I ended it abruptly and said, in all seriousness, if you died right now and just preached the gospel to every single person in a packed Kmart, and I was ready to go to jail for it too. There was more on the line than obeying their little laws about their speaker. I had to break out. Some of you need to break out. I said, some of you need to break out. You've just been... so dull for so long. You lost your passion. You lost your fire. You need to break out. You know, when I first moved here, Pastor Karen and I, can I tell you, no offense if you were here, but you remember, y'all were dead. This place was a dead church. It was dead. Then people were like, oh, we have a new pastor. I mean, I know Pastor Tim, you were here. No offense. I'm not talking about you and your beautiful family. You didn't even have a family back then. You were like 5 years old and... So I told everybody in the church, I said, y'all need to break out. You're all stiff. You're all like religious and stiff. So here's what you're gonna do. Come back to the parking lot. It was winter. And I said, everybody do donuts in the parking lot with whatever your car you have. And if you have a front wheel drive car, do it in reverse because they just whip around better in front. And people were like, what have we done? This guy's a loon. And then I'll never forget, we came back the following week. I said, how many of you did a donut in the park? What did they call them? Brodies. Sorry, a Brody. How many of you did a Brody in the parking lot? And I will never forget people that you wouldn't suspect. Be like, something happened. It started bringing a freedom. Listen, if you're bound and you're just religious and you're so uptight, can't worship, it's too loud, it's too soft. I don't like that. There's something wrong with you, it's not them. And you've got to tap in to an unction and an anointing from God. That's what David did. David said, I've done it here and I'm gonna do it with God right here. He prophesied to his giant and he didn't let anybody stop him. There's seasons that change. I was listening to some preaching. Brother Toby, would you come? Minister Toby. I was listening to some preaching when I was younger. I used to lose my voice every weekend. Remember Dr. Morocco telling me, listen to me, son. Do not sing and preach. I forbid you to sing and preach. I'm like, Pastor, like, why? He said, because if you lose your voice and you destroy your voice, that's the main tool you have as a preacher. So stop singing. I'm like, no way. Can't. How come, Pastor? Because I'll sing myself straight into the presence and the power of God. I started learning I need to adjust some different things. And I found my own rhythm. I found my own anointing. You have to find your own unction. Nobody can get that for you. You have to get it yourself. And if you're not anointed, it's not God's fault. What is anointed? Well, that's really the thing about this text. What makes the difference for David, what's going to make the difference for you in 2025, a year of unprecedented victories, they'll come to the one who's anointed, the one who has God's power resting on them. You'll find the elevation comes to David, three different successive anointings. This is after the first one. The power of God comes on him from the horn of oil. But as I said, it was in the fields long before Samuel showed up. And that anointing caused him then to be promoted to play music before the king. And then he becomes a national hero because he drops Goliath. It's the anointing. It's the power of God. We went to the Valley of Elah, and you can imagine them lined up in battle array. The first time I went, I've been twice. The first time I went, they read this text, the guide, and you have these little guide headsets. And I found myself running down this dry brook. And when it says, and David picked up five smooth stones, I stopped, picked up five smooth stones. And then he went to the battle and ran towards Goliath. I got up on the plane and began to run full sprint, everything I had away from the tour. I started screaming. Ah! I come to you in the name of the Lord. And then I threw a rock at some invisible fathead. I won. What are you talking about? Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And I turned and I heard the Lord say, you are my David. I'm like, yes. That's true for anybody that'll take it. This actually is a stone from the Valley of Elah. From the very place that David picked those five smooth stones. This belongs to Minister Hank. It's a beautiful stone. We went, it was getting dark. And I don't know if Aaron is here. Aaron, are you here? What's up? We'll never forget that as long as I live. Because I don't know, maybe there were seven of us, five of us. It's dark. It was hard to find it. We didn't have a guide. I was the guide. I said, okay, everybody pick up a rock. And everybody picked up a rock. I specifically remember you, though. Aaron, one of our life group leaders, great man, picked up a rock and he's holding a rock. And I encourage everybody to say, okay, turn and face your Goliath, whatever it is. And you take that rock. And when I say go, you throw it, sink it into the forehead of that giant. Are you ready? Everybody's like, yes, let's go. Right, ready, set. And Aaron is a highly intelligent, mild man. He's calm. He's not like me. He's chill. Unless he's in battle, apparently. Because I saw somebody else step up. There he was. Throw the rock now, Pastor. Ready! You're ready. Set! Kill Goliath! I mean, he just roared and turned that rock loose. I was just so glad he was facing the right way. We all didn't kill each other. What are you going to do in 2025 to see unprecedented victory? Because if you do the same thing you did last year, that's a definition of insanity for some. Others just keep doing the same thing. Just keep doing the same thing, Pastor Tim. Keep setting it on fire. Keep forging ahead. Keep fasting. Keep praying. We're going to see the villages come to Christ. We're going to see many, many people raised up. We're going to see the healing power put on display. God's healing you. He's restoring you, Pastor Vince. He's healing you. He's restoring you. He ain't done with you. God's power's on you. You're a giant killer. You always have been. He's calling you out by name. He wants you to know that he's going to give you victory unprecedented from glory to glory to glory to glory. But you'll notice the rock didn't come out of the river all by itself. It didn't just all of a sudden poof manifest. Oh, look, a rock, and it's floating supernaturally. Oh, the rock stuck into the head of the fat-headed uncircumcised guy. A rock by itself. No, David had to pick up the rock. I'm telling you, pick up your giftings. Pick up your giftings. Get serving. Get doing something. Get actively involved. Let your heart be set ablaze with the word of truth. Let the Spirit of God dwell in you richly. Love one another deeply. Let God use you to change your family. Let God use you to change the community. Don't sit back and hope, well, one day we're going to have a great revival. You want a great revival? Put a circle around yourself and then go ahead and have one. I, by myself, by the grace of God, I'm going to bring in 100 people myself. It's because you're, no, it isn't, was doing it long before I was a pastor. Long before they would even hand me a microphone, we would go and pick people up. I'm firing you up to be a soul winner, to reach to your neighbors and reach out to them. I just feel uncomfortable. Get over it. Get so full of the word that you're burdened by a Goliath that's dominating your neighbor's life, by drug addiction, by lust, by greed. Deal with the squirrels in your own mind, yes. Get help, get counsel, answer altar calls. Get in the word, learn, become a part of Foundations class. Get in a life group, become a life group leader. Aspire to be a leader. How about that? Say, oh, no, I can't. If you say so, then God will pick somebody else. He's got another David. You can sit down. You want to ride the bench the rest of your life and stand before God to give an account. And then he says, why didn't you get off the bench when that crazy bald-headed pastor was firing you up and you didn't do anything about it? And you'd be like, oh, okay. Mealy-mouthed nonsense. I'm too busy. We're too busy. It's the main thing that we should do is spread the good news of Jesus all over the world to see people saved, see people healed. Yes, work your job. Yes, do it. Sell houses. Give your sons and daughters in marriage. Yes, do all of those things. Do business till he comes, but you do his business. Occupy till he comes, but you win the lost. And let God use you in your giftings and your talents. Aaron, you've been such an encouragement to me in the school. Okay, you're not screaming a lot, but man, you got favor. Doing different things and helped us get computers and God bless you. You got giftings that the person sitting next to you doesn't have. That's why it's called a body. Well, lift your hands to heaven. Come on, begin to talk to God. The path of the righteous burns brighter and brighter, like in the noonday sun. You're going to find yourself becoming like another man. I'm going to clothe you with power from on high. And the unique anointing that rests upon your life, while there's similar aspects to me, your father, you are uniquely designed by God to to bring the kingdom. The gift of the evangelist is going to explode in your heart. But you'll be a great trainer and a discipler. And as Prophet Lafoon prophesied over you, you'll be like a genius with systems. I'm going to give you ideas in the night. You're seeing the giftings and how they work and the dreams. You're tuning your ear to hear my voice. There'll come a time when you'll be known as a great prophet among us. I'm preparing you, slow and steady, day after day, week after week. I'm building you into my own man, says the Lord. You'll have the criticism. Criticism's coming. Guard your heart. Such a tender heart. Critics are coming. That's all part of the training. While in submission to authority, having revelation from God, submitting, praying, and then watching God change the authority over you's mind. And God moving in power, not out of some rebellion, but you're in the school, you're in seminary right now. You've done well. You will do well. Lift your hands to Jesus all across this place. He said, Pastor, I'm going. I'm going to take my mountain. Give me my mountain, as Caleb said. Give me my mountain. It's an interesting thing about that. I've said that my whole life. Give me my mountain. It was interesting that my mountain has grown. Because I'd say, give me my mountain. He gave it to me, and then there's another mountain. And he gave me that mountain, and then he gave me that mountain, and then there's another one. And I'm beginning to see larger and larger, larger and larger mountains. God is going to raise up a company of people here. He's going to raise up great world changers. Don't shake it off. It's not hyperbole. It's not hype. It's the truth of God's word. You're going to have incredible victories, unprecedented victories in 2025 if you'll learn to change the way you think.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com, and may God's face shine upon you.